Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And our topic is Valentine's, because it's Valentine's.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we have the entire studio decorated with hearts and
doilies.
And since it's Baltimore, pink flamingos. And I wish I could be promising an interview about Valentine's spirit with John Waters, but I can't.
Wow.
So we're just going to have to talk about the rest of the meal.
Okay.
That you, or meals you had in mind.
I do.
For.
I can't wait to get to the progressive picnic.
Well, you haven't even done main course.
I know. Well, and I have a salad, too.
You had a
salad. So
classical.
I was thinking it would be fun to have Hearts of Palm, because the
Ladies
word
and gentlemen,
heart.
Valentine's is seven installments. Okay. Okay, so Hearts of Palm.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it just came to my head,
can you make a pink dressing for
no.
Hearts of Palm?
Well, we could use red wine vinegar. So, okay. So, and I think it's fun to make mayonnaise. I do think it's fun. And I think it's a good exercise for people to learn.
You should never allow anyone to isolate that quote. I think it's really fun to make mayonnaise.
Well, you know, I'm a chef. So
it requires a lot of passion.
A really good red wine vinegar. A really good red wine vinegar. And you need a couple tablespoons. And you need a neutral oil in this case. So we're going to use corn oil and salt and pepper and an egg yolk. And the best way to make mayonnaise by yourself, you know, not used to doing it, is in a bowl over a small pot that will hold that bowl in place for you. So, you know, you can do it with, because you're going to have to drizzle the oil in. Well, okay, so, I'm teaching you how to make it by hand. So, you could make it in a food processor or a blender.
So pot on the counter, bowl sitting comfortably in the pot.
Right, and I put a towel between, you know, underneath the bowl.
So they don't go flying around.
Right. So the bowl is stable. So you have a wet towel underneath the bowl that sits in the pot. And obviously you're on the counter. As you said, we're not doing this over heat. It's just giving you a station in order to make the mayonnaise. So you put the vinegar, red wine vinegar, in. Please get a really good one. As I said, a little bit of salt, a little freshly ground black pepper, and then you add in your egg yolk, and you whisk the egg yolk, and one yolk is fine for two people. And you'll probably need about half a cup or finished product. So I would have my oil in either a little measuring cup, so it's ready to go and you know how much it is, and something that's easy to pour from, maybe a little plastic or glass measuring cup, liquid measure so that you can pour it out easily, use a ladle. I would use half a cup.
Okay.
And you need a small soft whisk, and you can use this same kind of whisk for a million other things, like scrambling eggs or whatever. So it's not like it's a special piece of equipment.
So you've got your egg yolk. You've been whisking it, and it's all worked in with the vinegar.
But don't overdo
and
it.
And the pepper.
Right. So just whisk it so it's incorporated.
Just
so
to where, egg yolk, just to where it's incorporated.
Right.
And then your step is you have
and
this little measuring cup.
And drizzle in that oil. And literally your drops in the beginning. And it should be a tiny stream. You know, whisk, whisk, never stopping the whisking. A tiny stream of oil going
right,
into that.
Tired.
Yeah, you never ever. Yeah, Tony's mimicking the motion right now.
And, you said it was fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And so just the not fun part is it might break. So you may not stop whisking, and you may not add too much oil at one time. So those are the rules. And once it gets nice and thick, you're done. And taste it and make sure it tastes good. And it may need a little bit more salt, or it might need a touch more vinegar if you like it pretty acidic, which I do. This is the perfect foil for Hearts of Palm.
Pink mayonnaise.
It is going to be pink.
Because the
red
wine
your
vinegar.
Heart of Palm, which is one of my favorite things to eat. And is very French and is a sort of a classic bistro dish, you know, from maybe the late, or early 1900s. Pretty traditional. You could put a little bit of mosh, lamb's leaf lettuce on the plate with it, just a little bunch. This is simple to do. Quite frankly, I'm probably going to shock people, but you can buy Hearts of Palm in the can. So it's pretty common. I will tell you that Brazilian Hearts of Palm are the best canned Hearts of Palm. That's what you want to look for. There's absolutely nothing wrong with buying them. Yeah, that's the way they come. I mean, it used to be you couldn't get them any other way, but you can buy fresh. No one will find it now, but you can buy it through purveyors.
There's an elegant way to present it with lettuce leaves and all sorts of business. Mm-hmm. There's also you have your little pot of pink mayonnaise and you have Spears of Hearts of Palm that you just dunk in there.
Exactly. I mean, it's just kind of fun and simple, and it's really easy to do. And, you know, you can make the mayonnaise ahead and cut the Hearts of Palm, have it in the refrigerator, have the lettuce ready to go. You can put this together in, you know, a minute. So it's something that's very simple, but it's crisp, it's refreshing, and it'll just be fun. And it'll be a nice thing after that shrimp bisque, because the shrimp bisque is going to be a little bit rich on your palate. So then you have this bright, acidic dish afterwards, and now you're ready for the Wellington.
So let's talk about the Wellington. So what is beef Wellington?
Traditional beef Wellington would have beef tenderloin wrapped in puff pastry, and it would have a foie gras mousse type thing inside of the beef tenderloin, and it's baked in the oven, and then it would be sliced and served.
So it's not just pieces of foie gras; it's actually the old school is either a mousse or foie gras pate,
mm-hmm.
that's slathered over top of, like, you have your beef tenderloin laid out in a long slice that's been seasoned, and then this is laid out on top, and the pastry wrapped around like it was prepared
encased.
To be
mm-hmm.
yeah, wrapped in a blanket.
So I'd make it a little differently. So what you want is the center of the beef tenderloin, what is referred to as a chateaubriand, and because I'm going to ask you to butterfly it. And you don't want to butterfly it like so it's laid out flat. You don't want to cut it. So what you're going to do is cut it horizontally towards the edge, but you don't want to cut so far. You want to leave some of the meat on the left side, basically, of the tenderloin.
Allow me to translate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're cutting a submarine roll.
Right. Okay.
It's sort of like that.
Yeah, it is. So just don't unhinge it, right?
And you don't cut it all the way across.
Don't
the
cut
mouth
it all the way
it.
Across. So what you're going to do is, if you want to invest in a piece of foie gras, you would then cut the pieces of foie gras in about 1 ounce pieces, 1 ounce slices, and it needs to be cold before it goes into the pan. So once you cut it, you should then put it back in the refrigerator for a few minutes to make sure. You want to work quickly when you work with foie gras. You are 98.5 degrees about that. The foie gras is going to melt just from the touch of the heat from your hand. So take the foie gras out of the package, slice it, put it back in the refrigerator, let it get cold, and then get your pan hot. Once your pan is hot, with a tiny bit of neutral oil in the bottom of it, just enough to barely coat the bottom of the pan because the foie gras gives off enough fat, but it will stick to the pan if there's no fat in the pan to start. That pan should be almost to the smoking point, so a very hot pan. Put the slices of foie gras in, sear them very quickly on both sides. Again, as always, I would say, do never overcrowd your pan. Never overcrowd your pan. It reduces the heat in the pan too much, and then it will not sear properly. So
you're just searing both sides mm-hmm. and right out of the pan.
Right. And, you know, I would have, like, we would use a half sheet pan, but use some sort of a cookie sheet or something that you would have at home, or it can be a plate for all that matters, just to take it out of the pan and go on to something so it can sit while you sear the other pieces. If you have to do them, you know, you won't need that much because you're only cooking for two people. When I make it, I make a whole beef tenderloin, so it's very different for how I would do it.
So really honestly, hungry people.
So really, you should easily be able to sear those pieces in the pan. You're just going to do enough to line the interior of the beef tenderloin portion. And I would say you want 8 to 10 ounces per person. So beef tenderloin. So I would say you want about a 20-ounce piece of beef tenderloin, the center of the tender. And for that, I would say you probably need about 4 ounces of foie gras, maybe 6, depending on your appetite and how much you like foie gras. But this is a different way of doing it because...
God bless you.
Yes. Yes. So this is a different way of making Wellington, and I will add one more twist, and of course it throws it over the top expense-wise, but I'm just going to tell you because, you know, this is what I do, which is I layer in slices of fresh truffle. Fresh black winter truffle. This is the time of year for them, if you are so inclined. Once I've seared the foie gras and it's cooled, I put it into the center of the tenderloin. This tenderloin, of course, is seasoned lightly with salt and pepper. The foie gras should also be seasoned lightly with salt right before it goes in. And then I cover that foie gras with thin slices of truffle. I then close up, close the beef tenderloin,
you
if you will.
Close the submarine sandwich.
Yeah, close the submarine sandwich. Boy, that's really bringing down an elegant thing. And
I just want people to be able to understand what you're talking about.
I got it. And the puff pastry, probably what you would buy at the store will be the right thickness. So let's just go with that. So you're going to you're going to need an egg wash, which should be an egg yolk with, a whole egg with just a little bit of water. So let's say one egg, one tablespoon of water whisked into a little bowl, and you need a pastry brush.
And you whisk that so it's sort of smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not apparent that there's white and there's yolk.
Right. No, it should be whisked together. And you're going to seal the pastry closed with that. So you're going to wrap the – it's very
– you're going to lay a square down, essentially, or a rectangle.
Rectangle.
Down.
A rectangle.
Are the pastry large enough? You better be good at wrapping holiday presents so that you can lay that tenderloin in there and mm-hmm. then wrap it. And when you do –
Pull one side over, pull the other side over, and then tuck in the ends, basically. Actually, I tuck them under. But what you have to do is you need to egg wash that first layer of pastry as you bring it over and close it, just pat it down, and then again egg wash the whole exterior. And then when you tuck the ends under, that will have a little egg wash on it that will help to close it. And you want it perfectly sealed. What's going to happen is a lot of goodness is going to happen inside that puff pastry. To me, sometimes the best part of the dish is the puff pastry, particularly the ends.
All of the foie gras steamed through the beef.
Yeah, all the juice, all the fat, all that stuff goes into those.
If
that
you're lucky
pastry.
Enough to have the truffle,
yeah,
that perfume goes into the pastry
as well.
Yeah, it's
incredible. It really is. So now you've egg washed the entire outside. I put it on a rack on top of a sheet pan. So you need that pastry to... You could put it, if you're like, oh, I'm not buying a rack for my sheet pan. You could put it directly on a sheet pan, but it's just not going to behave as nicely as it should. So it needs to sit on something where the pastry can have a little bit of air.
Where the air circulates around
underneath.
It needs
the hot air underneath it. So I do suggest that. And I would roast it at 350 degrees. If you have a convection oven, I would go ahead and put it on low convection. And now comes the fun part, which is what you were talking about when we first started to talk about this dish. The trauma of this dish is getting the temperature right. And when you haven't made it before, it's everybody's oven is a little bit different. So it's easy to say 6 minutes per portion in this case. I would say, it's about 6 to 8 minutes. So I would say it's about 16 minutes to do this, maybe 14 from start to finish.
To get it to around what temperature?
Medium rare.
And that's for a piece the size you're talking about.
Yeah. For 20 ounces.
20 ounce piece of beef.
Yeah, 20 ounces of beef tenderloin. Yeah, because it can only be so narrow. The meat can only be so narrow.
And when it comes out of the oven, you need to rest it for a few moments.
I would
say
at least 5 minutes, maybe 8.
Meaning keeping it in a warm place but not hot.
Right. Yeah, I would keep it in.
You don't want it to take
maybe
a chill.
Yeah, no. If you. Maybe next to your stove, if you have a table next to your stove, that's a perfect place. Or on top of the oven, you could put it. I would. You can't do anything to it. You can't put foil over it. You can't. You're just gonna let it rest 5 minutes, just because now I'm starting to get nervous. But in case your kitchen is cold or something, but let it rest for a few minutes before you slice it, because obviously the blood has to redistribute back through the meat. All the juices need to do their thing.
You don't want to lose all of the juice
tenderness
of
the
beef and all the work that you did.
You could probably actually let it sit there for 15 minutes and it would still probably be okay.
And if you make this, this is not a cheap dish, and I'm honestly not going to recommend a bargain wine with it. If you're making this for Valentine's, it's a big deal. And if you're listening to this on Valentine's and you're making this for tonight, you better hustle.
right. That's why I'm going to give a quick alternative.
You got a lot of work to do. It's the time for a bottle of Grey Bordeaux that has a little bit of bottle age on it. If it doesn't, at least something that you want the power, you want the complexity, you want the freshness of the acidity of those wines. I don't think you want quite the alcoholic power or tannic power of the New World wines for this. You want something that's going to be a little bit more balanced to take on the dish and let the dish shine as well as the wine. There's enough fat and richness and intensity in the dish to take on any structure in the wine. The fruit that's there will shine through. I guess now, Cindy, I'm sure that you have a quicker version or a different version of an elegant main course that's not going to take quite that time investment.
Right. Or money investment, right.
If someone's going to try to get this done
today,
Valentine's afternoon. Anyway, we'll have that, more recipes, more Valentine wines. We return on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine on WYPR.